Hey, what's up, Misfits? Welcome back to the Misfit Mindset Podcast with me, your host, Sarah. I am so excited to get into this episode today. So we're going to be talking about faith and fear and how you can kind of overcome your faith, perhaps pick up more fear. What? Excuse me. How you can overcome your fear, pick up some more faith and do what you've been called to do. So let's crack on. Let's get right into it, right into the thick of it. So quickly telling you guys about myself, I've had to overcome quite a lot of fears to do what I'm doing right now. I think sometimes people may perceive me to be a bit fearless, but I definitely deal with a lot of anxiety a lot of the time. I'm consistently having to pray about it and find different ways and different techniques to overcome feelings of anxiety when I had to start my business, which, glory be to God, is doing okay right now. But when I had to start that, when I had to jump ship and put my all into it, when I had to start, you know, advertising that, hey guys, I do mentoring, I do coaching, that definitely filled me with a lot of fear, a lot of imposter syndrome and all of these things. And I know it's something that we all face. And I want to talk primarily, not just about the things that you want to accomplish, but the things that you feel the Lord is calling you to, the endeavors, whether that is starting a business, or whether that is getting married, or whether he's letting you know it's your season to start having children. Maybe he is telling you to go back to church, you know, whatever it may be. Maybe he's calling you to start going out and speaking. Whatever it is that the Lord is calling you to, I'm going to tell you a few things that you will need to know on this journey. Because let me tell you, if the Lord is calling you to something, it's going to trigger your fears. It's going to trigger your fears. So point number one that I kind of want us to think about is when the Lord is calling you to your new season, to what he's called you to do, your destiny, and even when you are doing something that glorifies him in any way, he is not going to soothe your fear. He is not going to pull you to a place where you have no fears. No, he will set you right in the midst of everything that triggers you. All of your insecurities, all of your doubts, all of your this, all of your that, his voice calling you into where you're meant to be will trigger them. It absolutely will trigger them. God will never keep you from your fears. He will call you into the midst of them. Because here's the key point. We as human beings are not meant to live a life without fear. We're meant to live a life with courage. With courage. And the scripture says that he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. So when you have that fear, the only way that you can overcome it is by showing courage in the midst of fear. He doesn't remove the fear. He increases your courage. And he gets you to do that by doing one simple thing. And I explained this once in the Bible studies that I do every Thursday. So you guys should really come if you're interested. We talk about the scripture right now. We're going through the story of Exodus, the book of Exodus. And one thing that I found in that is when the Lord is calling you, everybody that he called in the scripture, everybody that he told, this is what you have to do. Do you know that all of them gave him a reason as to why they're not the one? Why they shouldn't do it. He didn't call people that already felt qualified. Like, oh yeah, I'm ready for this. Oh, I was born for this. Like, nobody does that. When the Lord says, okay, yep, yeah, this is what I've asked you to do. Which is why I always find it very interesting when people are like, I'm ready to know my calling. I'm ready to know my calling. It's like, are you? Are you? Your calling will fill you with so many doubts. Your calling will make you feel like, no, I didn't hear that correctly. Because your calling is not something you would have chosen for yourself. It's something that God sees in you, that he is trying to pull out. So we're going to talk about four people. Yeah, and let me just look down at my notes real quick. We're going to talk about four people. We're going to talk about Gideon. We're going to talk about Joshua, Jeremiah, and Moses. Those four people, because all of those four people gave God a reason as to why they were not the ones that should have been chosen. We could even throw Jesus in there. Remember, just before Jesus died, before he went on the cross, he cried. Jesus cried and he said, "Lord, take this cup from me. Let this cup pass." Jesus didn't want to do that. He also had fears. And I think that's just incredible to think that the one that we're trying to be like also had to have courage in the midst of his fears. He was saying, "Lord, I do not want to do this, but your will above my own. But your will above my own." Jesus did what I'm about to tell you that you need to do, what God told everybody to do in the Bible every time they were full of insecurity or doubt or any of these things that make you feel that you are not qualified for what you've been called to do. So let's get into it. Excuse me whilst I look down at my phone. I'm just pulling up my Bible here. So first up, we're going to be talking about Gideon. So open your Bibles real quick and come with me to Judges 6:15. And this is Gideon speaking, and Gideon said to him, "O Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites." Surely I shall be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. I love that ending part, as one man. Imagine hearing that. In this context, the children of Israel had been oppressed by these Midianites, and the Lord picked the lowest of the lowest. The Lord picked the one who does not even believe in himself. He genuinely sees himself as the lowest, and God is telling him, "No, you're gonna body them as one person." How crazy does that sound? Lord, forgive me, but how ridiculous does that sound? And he had a reason why it couldn't be him. And the Lord's response was not, "No, you're not. No, you're really great. No, I promise you, you're a big guy." Like, the Lord's response to him was, "I am with you." The Lord does not try to soothe his ego at this moment. The Lord does not try to soothe his insecurities. I mean, big up his ego and soothe his insecurities. The Lord doesn't try to tell him, "No, you're wrong about yourself, baby girl. You're wrong, okay? You are a chosen one." Like, the Lord does not do any of that. He just says, "I am with you." He puts the focus back onto himself. Now, let's go to the next verse that we're going to be looking at real quick. And now we're in Joshua 1:9. We're going to be in Joshua real quick. And it says, "Have I not," this is the Lord speaking, he says, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord God is with you wherever you go." For the Lord God is with you wherever you go. Again, Joshua has just taken the mantle from Moses. Moses, who had a long history of leading the children of Israel, all of a sudden it's now given to Joshua. Tell me why he would not feel the weakest of the weakest. Imagine taking it right after Moses. You'd be thinking about how unqualified you are, how Moses did all these things and you can't do all these things, how you're just a servant. Remember, he was an assistant, I believe. He says he was, yes, a Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses's assistant. I don't know about you, but genuinely, I could only imagine what Joshua was going through in his brain. But you know, the Lord gave him some simple instructions. Essentially, keep your eyes on me. The Lord said, "I am with you. I am with you." And even in that whole part of the Lord speaking to him in 5, he says, "No man shall be able to stand before you for all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I shall be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you." 6, be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to your fathers to give them. So if you just read that whole Joshua 1, 1 to like 9, really is incredible. It's so amazing to hear the Lord basically encourage somebody. But even in that, remember, God isn't talking to Joshua about how amazing Joshua is. God isn't trying to big up Joshua. He's simply telling Joshua to be courageous. Be courageous, meaning that he recognizes that Joshua had fears. He recognizes that Joshua felt unworthy of the task that he's just been given. But the Lord had to command him, look at me. Keep your eyes on me. I am with you. I am walking with you. Do you understand? And I think that's just so incredible. But before I start making all of my points, let's go down again. And now we're going to Jeremiah. We're in Jeremiah 1:6. Now let me read this to you. And then Jeremiah says, then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am a youth, for you shall go to all whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. What? What? He says, do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Jeremiah just been given this huge task. And he's literally saying, but I'm just a kid. Look at me, I'm just a kid. You know, in Jewish culture, you really had to respect your elders. So imagine a kid coming to try and prophesy to elders, people, the elders of Israel, right? The ones who've been making sacrifices for years before he was born. Now he has to come and say whatever he has to say that the Lord has given him. And the Lord is saying, do not look at what you deem as a shortcoming. Don't you think I saw it already? He's literally telling him, take your eyes off of your insecurity and put your eyes back on me. The reason why you're getting afraid, the reason why you're getting scared is because you're looking at you and how able you are to do it. And I didn't call you to do this by yourself. What does he say? I am with you to deliver you. But we're not done yet. We are going to go to Moses, my boy, Moses in Exodus. We are going to go to Exodus 4, verses 10. Then Moses said to the Lord, oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue. So the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Now go therefore, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what to say. What? Like, honestly, Moses is literally telling the Lord, okay, before you came to me, I couldn't speak. Even after you've given me this assignment, you still haven't changed my ability to speak. I still struggle to talk, right? I'm still stuttering, right? Excuse me for that bad impression, but I'm still stuttering. And the Lord is literally saying, who made mouths? The very mouth you're using to speak, who made it? It's me. So don't worry about all that. I am the Lord. You look at me. I will be with your mouth. I will give you the words to say. Now, I can put my phone down. I can put my Bible down. And I can begin to say the things that need to be said and the things that you need to hear, especially on this journey of what you're taking. Multiple times, as the examples we've just gone through, people will give God all the reasons as to why they cannot do what he's asked them to do. I'm too young. I can't speak. I'm the least of my family. I'm the youngest. All of these things. And God never tries to encourage or soothe their insecurities. He just says, I am with you. Keep your eyes on me. There's a very important thing the Lord is trying to get us to do, and is trying to get us to focus. We need to focus. And the more you focus on all the reasons as to why you cannot do it, they are going to grow and you will find more reasons. He doesn't try to dismantle your reasons because, okay, cool. First Moses says, oh, I can't speak. Then the Lord suddenly heals his mouth. Then he goes, oh, but I ran away from Egypt. Then the Lord has to, then, oh, but God, I haven't been there in a while. Oh, but God, they're trying to kill me. He will always have more reasons. We will always have more reasons. So the Lord, in his wisdom, knowing that we will always have a reason as to why we can't do it, simply does not even try to dismantle our reasons. He allows them to stay there, but instead he says, regardless of your reasons, regardless of what you think, regardless of how qualified or disqualified you deem yourself to be, keep your eyes on me. Why? Because I know why I called you, and I know what I see inside of you. And not only you, but when you're walking with me, who can challenge you? Remember, we read Joshua 1, verse 5, no man shall be able to stand against you for all of your days, for as I was with Moses, so I shall be with you. All of that just to say that truly, when God is for you, who can be against you? It doesn't matter how big or how small you are. When you walk with God and when you have that blessing, when He says yes and nobody can say no, it is not if you will succeed. It is simply a matter of when you will succeed. Okay, you failed today. Okay, you failed tomorrow. That does not mean that you are a failure. Remember, because God called you for this. So it's a matter of when you will succeed. And your fears are going to try and tell you, oh, we're going to fail. And you have to tell your fears, yes, and. Yes, failure is part of the process. Failure is not the end of the process. Failure is a part of the process. But we have been conditioned to see every time that we don't get the results that we wanted as evidence that we were not qualified for those results in the first place. And that's literally not how it works. That's literally not how it works. When David was called to be king and he found himself in the cave hiding for his life, he found himself running away from Saul multiple times. He could have said, oh, I am not cut out for this. I don't want to do it anymore. Peace. No, but that was part of his process. When Joseph was shown that the sun and the moon will bow to him, that his mother, his father, all his brothers will bow to him. But he ended up a slave and he ended up in prison for a crime he didn't commit. He could have said, I am a failure and I have failed. But that was part of his process. It's in the dungeon that he got the connection to end up being prime minister. It's in the dungeon. Understand that it's in your failure. It's in what you deem to be your flop that you learned the lesson that gave you your win. But you need to understand that in what appears to be a failure, in what appears to be a win, in every season, the Lord is with you, which is why you don't walk by sight. You have to walk by faith, by an internal knowing, an internal knowing. Now, let's talk about why the Lord gets us to focus on Him and not on ourselves. Psychologically, now, let's go into the science behind attention and why He's never trying to talk more about or draw more attention to what you deem as your disqualification. Now, we're going to talk about the science, right? So the first thing I kind of want to point out is the reticular activating system. The reticular activating system. I'm going to look down real quick and I'm just looking at my note. Now, the RAS, the reticular activating system, what it does is it filters information, right? And it heightens your awareness of what you focus on. Now, this is very important. When you are learning and looking outside and basically intaking all this information, it has to filter it out. It has to filter it out. You cannot be aware of everything at all times. We're not God, remember. We are limited beings. So there can be a car coming over here and a child walking over there and a dog barking in the far distance and a person talking on the phone over here and somebody calling you over there. Your mind has to filter out all of this information that it's hearing, seeing, tasting, sensing, all down to what you need to know. But your brain will heighten its awareness of whatever you choose to focus on. For example, you're walking in a dog park. Let's just use that example. And you are afraid of dogs. And you already feel or think in your mind that I am in danger. I'm going to be in danger. There can be so many things happening. There can be an ice cream truck, and you love ice cream. There can be an ice cream truck over there. There can be little babies walking on the other side. There can be so many things going on, but your mind is now focused on the fact that you are in danger. So all you can see is dogs. You don't even see anything else. All you can see is the dogs. All you can see is the danger. And therefore, now You've caused all these other things to spike in your body. Your adrenaline has spiked. Now even what is that the stress hormone? Cortisol. Yes, you've even caused your cortisol to spike again because you are so afraid, like you're living in so much fear at this time. We need to remember that using this also into what the Lord has called you to do, into what the Lord has called you to do. Perhaps the Lord has called you to start a business, and all you are focusing on is how, oh my gosh, but my mother was broke, and my father was broke, and my grandfather, and none of my family paid their bills on time. Let's just say, like, you come from an impoverished background, but you know that the Lord has put this thing on you, this amazing idea, but you are just full of so much fear. That system that we've just spoken about, the RAS system, it is going to filter all the information and heighten your awareness of whatever you're focusing on. So truly, it will filter now and get you to focus on every time somebody has flopped in business. You can be scrolling on Instagram and you see two different posts, somebody that made 2 million in their first year of business and somebody else that went bankrupt in their first 6 months of business. And guess what? If you are living in your fears, you will take the person that was bankrupt and you will run with that as the truth and what is likely to happen to you, instead of truly seeing that you could have been that person that made the 2 milli. Does this make sense? This is the thing. This is the thing. This is why the Lord is saying, focus on me. He knows how the human mind works. He knows what will happen if you decide that you're only going to focus on your fears. But that's not the only thing we're going to talk about. Let's move on to the next one. Emotional amplification. Emotional amplification. Remember how we read in Jeremiah how the Lord said, do not say I am a youth. The Lord literally told him, don't repeat that. Don't say that out of your mouth. And I think that there's a reason to that, because our words have so much power to not only control our emotions, but to heighten our emotions. Have you ever felt really upset or really sad? And as you began to talk more, you got more and more upset and cried more and more. Or you were afraid of something, and as you began to talk about it more, the fear increased. And I feel that's why the Lord got him to be silent and said, stop whatever you're saying, eyes on me. Emotional amplification is essentially when you focus on a particular emotion, you heighten it. You heighten that emotion. If you are afraid, you will heighten the sense of fear if you only focus on your fear, which is why people talk about having a distraction. People who are afraid of heights, they say, don't look down. Because as you look down and you are afraid, you will heighten your sense of fear and you can begin to quite literally shut down your body. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Try to focus on all the times He has come through for you, all the times He's done an amazing thing for you, which is why, even in the scripture, even in the book of Joshua, He tells them when they're walking through the river, is it Jordan, I believe? And He separates the river and He says, pick up these stones and keep them to tell your descendants about what's happened. The Lord wants you to remember what He brought you through in the past, because those memories of what you went through will help you in where you're going to regulate your emotions, to remember, oh, but last time I thought I wasn't going to make it and I made it. Last time I thought this was the end of me and it wasn't. You see what I mean? Don't watch things that will trigger the negative emotions that you have. You will literally make yourself drunk on depression, drunk on anxiety. Don't start listening to sad music when you know that you're meant to be in a season of keeping your eyes on the Lord, right? When you know that He's taking you through the wilderness. Yes, you're sad and maybe lonely. Yes, you're sad, you may be in isolation. Yes, you're sad, things may be failing. But if you then amplify that emotion, you're no longer keeping your eyes on God. Cool. What's the next thing? The next thing we're going to look at is selective attention. Selective attention. Now, selective attention is kind of like the first thing that we spoke about, but it is essentially the brain focuses on what it wants to focus on. most times what you get it to focus on, and you kind of train your brain about what you want to focus on. So right now, for example, you're watching this video, maybe you're doing things, maybe you're listening to it on a podcast, but what are you doing with your fingers right now? Can you feel that tingling sensation at the bottom of your fingers? Can you feel it, how it's coming up to your wrists and the tension in your shoulders? Just relax your shoulders right now. You see how you weren't even thinking about any of those things? You weren't even feeling them until I said it. Like your feet, how they feel on the floor right now, in your shoes, even on that carpet. Yeah, it feels hard, soft in some places. That is selective attention. Your brain is not thinking about everything at all times. So have selective attention. Choose to focus on God's power rather than your weakness. Choose to focus on how many times God has taken people who were not strong through situations that needed strength, rather than how many times you feel you have failed in your life. Selective attention. Do not just pay attention to all of the fears. Pay attention to the greatness that is in God, that He has put in you. He would not call you for this if you were not already qualified, my darling. Trust the Lord enough to know that He is not a dummy. Trust the Lord enough to know that He is not stupid. He is not a fool. He knows what He's doing, and He knows why He's put that business idea in you. He knows why He's given you that desire. He knows why. So instead of thinking about every reason as to why you cannot make it, start thinking as to why the Lord in His infinite wisdom gave me this. And He is with me. And if He's for me, who can be against me? Even the enemy, even if the devil doesn't want you to succeed, guess what? The devil's already been judged. Like, he's quite literally going to hell. And I think that's the funniest thing, when people begin to fear the devil and the enemy and demons. Do you not know that they have already flopped? That all of this thing that we're seeing is simply the tantrums of a child that's already been beaten. The tantrums of a child that's about to be sent to the naughty corner. The devil is a creation of God, even if he doesn't want you to succeed. So, he is not God's equal and opposite enemy. He is just an enemy of God. He's not his equal and opposite. God is not in a battle with the devil, right? We are in a battle with our flesh, but God is not in a battle with the devil. God's already judged him. So when you begin to see it that way, there's quite literally nothing that can stand against you making it, except for you refusing to focus on God. You are the only one that can stand in your way. Not witchcraft, not demons, not spirits. When you take your eyes off of God, when you decide to go and sin, when you decide to go and do all these things, you open up the doors of delay. You open up the doors of stagnation. You open up all of these things. Tell the Lord again, Lord, I am so sorry for focusing on all of these other things, but now I'm putting my attention back on you. Take me where you want to take me. Show me what you want to show me. And lock in. Lock in. What's the last one? Confirmation bias. Whatever you believe is what you'll see more of. If you believe that God is good and He's on your side and He knows exactly why He has called you and you're destined for greatness, you will continue to see more things that reinforce what you already believe in your day-to-day life. So when it comes to confirmation bias, you literally have to change your mindset, which is why I am a mindset coach, you know what I mean? Which is why, even in my journey of Christianity, I realized how many times the Lord works on our minds. He doesn't just work on our spirituality, because even to fall in line with your spirituality, you have to have a mindset. You have to understand what you are doing. So, what are your beliefs about God? Is He great? Is He powerful? Is He mighty? Is He undefeated, unchallenged? If so, and He says that I am with you, what are you afraid of? Even if you are afraid, do it anyway. Do it big. Do it with courage. He wants you to have courage, not just in yourself, but have faith in Him. Your courage looks like having faith in God. So This has been the podcast for today. I am so glad that I was able to sit down and talk with you guys. Also, I see that we have a lot more new subscribers in the building. But yeah, I just want to say a big thank you to everybody that has subscribed, everybody that's joined the Misfit family. Misfits, we're so happy to see you, and I'm happy that this community is growing. Please share this with somebody that you know needs it. Put this on your Instagram, put this on your TikTok, put this on your Facebook. Share this thing so more Christians can know that they do not need to be slaves to fear, but they can truly stand in their power, recognizing that the Lord has called them for what he called them for. Thank you guys so much. Misfit out.